Hello, and welcome back to Tiwa Talks, Episode 3. I'm Campbell, back here with Matt Wang for our third episode. Matt was absent from the second episode, but he's back. He's here, everyone. And today, we're going to be talking about an incredibly important topic in the UCC community, that being toxic masculinity. Coming off the consent assembly recently, we thought it'd be best to address this topic and have a discussion on it, our thoughts. And seeing as Matt was one of the people that posed the question of toxic masculinity in the consent assembly, I thought he'd be especially interesting to have on, and I think he has some strong opinions.
Oh, exciting.
All right, so first, we're going to focus on the consent assembly for a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So, I don't know. After the assembly, I talked with a lot of people, asking them, like, you know, what do you think about it? The general consensus I got from the school was that it was bad. I'm hesitant to agree. I think it's definitely not great, but I disagree on how it was bad. So I definitely think that the execution was off.
Yeah, I agree. It felt to me like a little bit of, like, what's the meme with Steve Buscemi, like...
Oh, is it the fellow kids?
Yeah, the fellow kids meme. I felt it was a little bit of that going on.
Yeah.
A little bit of, they brought three young, trendy young adults in to talk to this high school. Not that there's anything bad with that.
Yeah.
But it was also a little bit patronizing.
I thought what was interesting is I think they thought very differently about what they were going to do in that assembly than what actually happened when we got to the questions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the presentation on, like, what the lecturing, I guess, part of that presentation was more on the idea of consent, which I think is obviously, and in principle, I think what they did was a good idea. It's probably good to educate everyone, not only teenage boys, but everyone about what consent is. But in practice, the discussion kind of veered away from it. So initially, when they first opened up the floor to discussion, it had this very, you know, oh, anyone can ask questions, we'll ask the audience, stuff like that. It was very clear that UCC didn't care about consent in the same way that they thought that UCC would care about consent, right? And I think using weird acronyms like FRIES to explain an idea that should
also
be really simple
using
to understand.
Like a metaphor of like, oh, borrowing your car.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Generally,
I think you just need to like buck up and just like, I felt they didn't take it. Like, if you're going to make a serious assembly, you have to use serious like acronyms and serious metaphors.
I'd even go a step further than that. I don't think you need an acronym to explain to someone what consent is.
I completely agree.
And I thought that gave a pressure point for other students to latch onto and be like, man, ha, fries, and kind of disregard the rest of the message.
I also think teenage boys in particular will go into that assembly like with an extremely closed mind, and as a result, you're going to pick out something that you're like, oh, this is stupid. Like, this is why it's stupid. Yeah, so, like, one of the things that I heard was a lot of people saying, like, the questions, there was a question about, like, oh, what do you do if you're falsely accused of like, sexually assaulting somebody? And a lot of people I heard gave, like, them tons of flack for that, the answer they gave, which I think they just, wasn't their answer, like, oh, go back to fries or something like that?
Yeah.
Something like that. I think it's a like sort of a valid question, but it's one of those loaded questions that's like, how are you gonna answer that?
Yeah.
Like yeah, it sucks. It's a situation that sucks, but it's also a situation that happens extremely rarely.
Yeah.
Like statistically speaking, it's very rare.
And then also like I feel it's weird to turn an assembly about consent into an assembly about defending yourself from false accusations.
Exactly.
I think it's a legitimate question.
It's a legitimate
question. Definitely are a lot of instances you'll hear in the news where rape accusations, even when they're unproven, ruin people's lives. So I can understand that concern. I just think that we as a student body weren't prepared to handle that assembly, but also the canvas as a group wasn't able to handle the assembly. I am interested, though, as they said in grade, for the year 12s, they're going to be coming back in February and doing closer sessions.
I almost guarantee that assembly is going to go over far better and it'll be a lot more productive.
Yeah. And actually,
when you add like I think it was honestly, it was mainly the volume of kids that was the biggest problem.
Yeah, especially the age range.
Yeah, and the age range too was bad.
Something interesting is the boarding house talks about how, so I talked to people in the boarding house. They actually did this with a boarding house previously and it went relatively well and people learned stuff. So I thought that was good. I think in principle it was good. Execution was a little off. One other thing that I thought was kind of weird, which is related to the assembly and related to the question I made, and this is a good segue into the idea of toxic masculinity, is I think that our school body is immature to talk about conversations like this around all of their friends and around all this peer pressure of 700 guys.
I'd agree. Like, I would agree somewhat. I think it's good. I think the school is actually really good if you have a small group. Like, I've had two or three instances now where it's been me and like two or three other guys, and I felt like I've sat down and had like an actual good conversation and like an intelligent conversation about consent, about like sexual assault, about just like the general takeaways from the assembly. And in one instance, there was one guy that I was like, I completely disagree with you about. It was mainly about the false accusation stuff. And I was like, I completely disagree with you, but ultimately, I think both of us left in a way that was like, might not agree, but like it was a good, we had a good talk.
That's good. Like when I asked my question, someone yelled SJW to my left.
Really?
Like, yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like,
that's bad.
I think it's a valid question. If you disagree with my viewpoint on it, which is like reasonably fine.
Yeah,
Definitely, I don't know. I don't think it's I just think it's not a kind of culture to have. Oh, one quick thing before we segue into toxic masculinity that I want to talk about is the video. So I actually thought the idea of the video and the statistics was good. A lot of people have already caught on that one of the scenes of the video might have been a little too expressive, too related to a UCC guy. That one's a hard one.
The UCC guy who we won't name, but I'm pretty sure it's well known around the school who he is. I think that's like,
I think it's a hard judgment call on whether or not
I don't think the people that were making the video edited it, right?
But there was
no UCC guy.
But also they didn't know that it was a UCC guy, so it's not necessarily anyone's fault per se.
No, I don't think there's anyone's fault. I just think it's
unfortunate.
It's an unfortunate situation because like, what the guy did was like bad, so I don't think anyone really like is gonna empathize with him. But at the same time, it's also like kind of unfair to be
and we only got one side of the story. While I'm definitely sympathetic to the person who spoke about it, maybe there's just a miscommunication or something. And the guy who I was able to talk to after said he didn't know it was going to happen.
Oh, really?
And he's been being ragged about it all the time. So I can empathize with him. That was kind of not good.
All right. I don't want to get too much into that because
Topic. Okay. Let's talk about the question.
Yes, our question at the core, which is toxic masculinity, now that we've set it up. So, all right. Matt, why don't you talk a little bit first, and then we can go from there.
Because
I think you're the one that's going to – I think you're the one that brought it up very clearly.
So my question was about whether or not toxic masculinity not toxic masculinity, whether or not masculinity in general would lead to issues with consent. Because my point is that there are a lot of good things about masculinity, the idea of a brotherhood at our school that is inherently masculine, camaraderie, right? Yeah. The whole never walk alone. I think that's a great mechanism almost all the time.
Yeah.
But there are also toxic parts of masculinity. So what does that mean? What is toxic masculinity? It's basically elements that are societal pressures or societal controls that are basically, you know, values and ideals that men should follow that are bad for the rest of society, I think is a pretty general way to put it. A few examples of toxic masculinity. Generally, the most famous one is objectification of women.
Yeah.
A lot of being masculine involves sexual dominance and stuff like catcalling and stuff like asserting yourself as the alpha male in the room. And while that can be good in very few situations, that kind of attitude towards women, towards sex, and towards dominance oftentimes creates generally big problems, bad, right? Yeah. And it's a big precursor into sexism. So I think that most of us can agree that toxic masculinity isn't a good thing. I think there are two questions. And the first is our school toxic, do we, are we, you know, that kind of masculinity? And then secondly, is it just the students or is it something that's like intrinsic to our culture? Which is an interesting thing to think about. So first, Campbell, what do you think? Do you think our school has elements of toxic masculinity?
I think every school anywhere with teenage boys is going to have some aspect. I think the sad part of our culture is that it's kind of inherent, honestly. And I think it's bad, and especially I think if you're looking at like all of this like plethora of these sexual assault and harassment cases that are just we're now learning about, I think it's you can see that there's something serious going on here in society. And at UCC, I don't think anyone can reasonably deny that it doesn't exist. Like it, and I don't know if that's a bad thing. Like, in some respects, it's definitely a bad thing. But it's so widespread that it's really a cultural thing, and it's gotten to a point where it's something we don't think about because it's almost just so inherent in our culture. And obviously, teenage boys are like the worst offenders. I think just because of the environment you're in, you're maturing really quickly, and many. You have like girls all around you. It's a tough situation to be in. You're kind of finding yourself. So I think it exists. If I'm gonna relate it back to like what I think we should do about it at UCC, I think there needs to be more discussion about it. I think that it's one of those things that's definitely swept under the rug when we're talking about UCC.
Yeah. Just to add on to what you said about it being here, I think that I agree with you. Every high school has it.
Yeah.
One thing that I personally believe in that necessarily isn't true, but it could be, is that I think that UCC has way more of it than the average school. And this is a point of contentious debate.
Yeah.
Because I've talked to other people who think that we're more liberal than the average private school, which is possible. And it's very hard for us to gather, you know, data or statistics on it.
We're so not more liberal than any other high school.
It depends on who you ask. In my view, I think that UCC is a very socially conservative high school. If you look at the demographics of the kinds of people who send their kids here, right?
Well, yeah, I think there's a key distinction to make between parents and kids, because I think a lot of times kids will actually go against their parents.
That's true.
And I think I would not call UCC a conservative high school. I wouldn't call it a liberal one either. I'd say we're pretty moderate.
Radical centrist.
I wouldn't go that far. I'd say we're pretty centrist.
Centrist, okay.
And I think that's would be unusual for a school.
Okay.
I think that'd be where most private schools would fall.
I don't think that's
unusual for a private school.
Yeah, I can see that. Because I think that there are definitely a lot of people here who are way more left-wing than their parents are.
Yeah,
are way more invested in things like feminism.
Definitely.
The reason I still believe so is because if you look at student engagement in things like the GSA, for example, right?
Yeah,
compared to any other big private school I know, like St. Mike's has a bigger GSA than we do, and they have St. Mike. It's St. Mike's, right? Like not dissing the school, but like it's an inherently religious institution, right? And they have a larger GSA than
Crescent?
We do.
Do you know anything about Crescent?
I don't know that much about Crescent.
I think Crescent is like exists, but it's pretty small.
Yeah, I do know that with GSAs, it's not necessarily a great yardstick because there are other factors at play. And also, all girls' schools have way more people in their GSA than we do. Yeah. And there might be other factors. Maybe it's a lack of funding or a leadership issue. Mm-hmm. Or just the timing sucks. Maybe it's during another
with
club.
Ours... See, the thing is, UCC is actually, like... when I first came to the school, we actually had, like, a good GSA. I don't know if you remember, like...
Oh, I was, like, Luke Chesta?
Yeah, Chesta was, like, a fantastic GSA leader. And there was, like, even... It's not running anymore, but there's a program for, like, anonymous, like, like, you could go into the health center anonymously and, like, talk to somebody about your sexuality.
So
that ended, but, like, I remember...
We're considering restarting that.
I think we should, definitely.
Yeah.
But, like, stuff like that, I think it kind of goes through, like, it goes through a cycle where it's, like, there are years where it's, like, a really good year for the GSA, and there are other years, like, now we're in... a particularly kind of crappy 2 years
so,
for it.
Yeah, and it's hard to see, you know, if there's a causal connection. Like, is toxic masculinity the root of a lot of problems?
Yeah.
Is it a byproduct of a bigger thing at our school? Mm-hmm. It's really hard to say. But definitely it's prevalent. As to say whether or not it's institutional, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time, our school has definitely institutionally supported some values. For example, for a long time, our school was definitely institutionally racist.
Oh, yeah.
Most other private schools, yeah. Between the 1800s and the 1900s,
exactly.
The school was like, black people can't be students. Pretty questionable viewpoint,
yeah.
But that was a thing, right? And that's
we
an
progressed.
Example of institutionalized yeah. stuff. But then the flip is, you know, now we still have ads that are like, we believe in boys.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of that tagline. I don't know. Like, do you not believe in girls? Like, what? And obviously, since we're an all-boys school, we're in a special position, right? And
yeah.
I think that ties into David's question about how does being an all-boys school kind of enforce and create that toxic masculinity?
Here's the thing. I think if you compare, because my dad's an old boy, and I think if you compare one of the, the school as it was, like, in the 80s, obviously different culture, different time, but they're... I think UCC's improved in many respects about how blatant it is with, like, misogyny. And I think one of the, like, where the kind of reputation, or where the reputation starts from is that era, where it was, like, this really kind of boys club, rich white kids that were all, like, in a private school. This was before the IB program. So it was, like, it was that kind of an attitude at the school. I think that where it starts. I think the issue now at UCC is I think we've made improvements, but I think there are still problems, but we choose to ignore them.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot easier for the school to ignore it and, like, the student body especially to turn a blind eye and pretend nothing is happening. But instead of, like, tackling it head on, we've just kind of left it in the back of our minds.
That's true. I mean, the optimist in me does want to talk about what's happening now. And I guess this is a good way to end off the episode because I think... We're
yeah.
almost done time-wise. But Mr. McKinney, our new principal, a lot of people know that I'm a big fan of Mr. McKinney. I think
mm-hmm.
he's done a lot of great things so
yeah.
far, especially with technology.
Yeah.
But also another part of his strategic plan is diversity.
Yeah.
So back right when he became the principal, I think,
mm-hmm.
last year, we had this meeting about what should the strategic plan be, and students were giving feedback and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To, like, this independent consulting company. And I was at that meeting
mm-hmm.
with Kamathi as well.
Yeah.
Big debate guy. and one of the largest problems we brought up and that the rest of the people there were also talking about as well was, what would happen if... What happens to gay kids at our school right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen if there's a transgender kid who either applied to our school or was transitioning at school?
Yeah.
And I think that Mr. McKinney has addressed kind of... Or he's trying his best to at least put it on the roadmap. Which I think is very cool, because
yeah.
I think this is the first time that UCC as an institution, not just the students at UCC, but the administration, has kind of admitted that there's a problem, that diversity could be better, that we could be more inclusive,
mm-hmm.
and now we just got to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah. So I first off, I was sort of aware of that. I was, like, aware of the... I heard about, like, a transgender committee or something that was outlining that. I think that's what was being referred to, is that meeting. Yeah, I think that's good. That's definitely some progress. For me personally, I think the single biggest problem UCC faces with consent and misogyny is our absolutely god-awful health education. Sex ed. We have no sex ed at this school. It doesn't exist.
I feel... Oh.
Our sex ed classes are worse than public schools, and I firmly believe that.
Oh, I definitely agree. But here's another piece of optimistic news.
Yeah.
So David Nidham Dent, our academic steward, he's a pretty cool guy. He's done a lot of stuff already in terms of exams and stuff like that, but one of his other things that he was considering talking about was revamping our health education program, exactly
it,
like you
it
said.
Needs, like,
so,
it's so we
sex
so
education, for
it.
Example, I don't think I even learned what a condom was in sex ed. That seems like it's
yep.
pretty important. And then
important.
Also, David, also consider talking about things like drug abuse. Like, maybe you
yeah.
shouldn't abuse prescription drugs.
Exactly.
Why mixing Adderall and alcohol
yeah.
will kill you.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And hopefully, this is a turn of a new page in UCC's
I hope so.
History.
I really hope so. Because
yeah.
it's the fact that sex ed doesn't exist in the IB grades. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The years that kids need it the most in grade 11 and 12, it doesn't happen. And I think that's... It's unacceptable in my
yeah.
opinion.
I don't know, but yeah, I definitely agree. I think there are a lot of problems, and a lot of people know me as a vocal critic of the school
yeah.
and of the school's policies. But I am actually very optimistic. This is one of the few things I'm optimistic
yeah.
about for the future
okay.
of the school.
Well, you're making
you know,
me more optimistic.
Yeah, like also Mr. Williams started an initiative where year 12 kids, so us, house by house visit the health center to have a discussion and talk about what the health center is there for, what resources do they have. I think a lot of people didn't know the health center, for example, had condoms. And also, they have the ability to get birth control pills if your girlfriend or other sexual partner can't get them. Right? Wow. So it's like, damn, yeah, I didn't know that either. Jeez. And like, there's all this cool stuff that's going on right now.
Health center is an awesome place.
I think it's underutilized.
It's so underutilized.
I don't know. I think, yeah, toxic masculinity definitely happens at our school. Definitely. There's stuff that we can do as individuals to fix that, you know, maybe calling people out or maybe joining stuff like the GSA or going to the health center. And as a school, it looks like we're doing good stuff, but we don't know. We'll find out.
Doing good stuff, we need, honestly, as a school, if there's one thing we can do, it's just talk more. Honestly, small groups, whatever, talk more and cheer on our academic steward in revamping our sex ed.
Yeah. I think David will come out with an official announcement in Convergence or something.
Amazing.
We'll figure that out.
Well,
actually, audience interaction. What do you think about
this podcast? What do you guys think about this podcast? What do you guys think about toxic masculinity? Send us an email. Leave us a comment. Contact us angrily.
Yeah.
Contact us.
If you have hate mail, I enjoy hate mail.
Send hate mail. Yeah. Send fan mail.
Oh, I would love fan mail as well.
Either way.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been the third episode of T-Ball Talks. I'm Cameron McKinnon.
I'm Matt Wang.
And we'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening.